And how many of you are thankful for what God has done for you this morning?
Hallelujah.
Amen? Thankful for another day of life. Thankful for God's mercies, which are new every morning. Especially here at camp meeting, right? Did you guys sleep well? Did you get breakfast? You bet. You want me to ask you more questions? Do you get prizes? Oh, so you want prizes. Okay. And some of you probably haven't forgotten that I promised you something today. Did you forget? Did you forget? You didn't forget. Oh, there we are. We're live. Good morning. I did promise you something, and it'll come up in just a few minutes. But yes, question and answer time. That's exactly right. Didn't forget that. Now, gentlemen, do I have my audio cable? Brother Rick, do I have audio up here? Because I'm not seeing it at the moment. If you could help me with that, that would be wonderful. And we'll get that, because I've got... Guys, today is going to... We are going to be moving fast. Are you ready? I hope you're not, like, in sleeping mode. Are you in sleeping mode? Or are you in ready-to-go mode? Ready to go? Okay, no one sleeps today. I know it's hot. But we are going to do a lot in the next hour. I've got several things to do with you guys, and it's going to be exciting, so I hope you're ready. All right. Before we move to the next part of our presentation, I'm going to ask some questions. And I've only got two more days, and all of these have to be given away in the next 2 days. So here we go. First question for today. Who can tell me... Yesterday we talked about how every member is a minister, right? And we talked about the spiritual gifts as well. Who can tell me the three chapters in the Bible where the spiritual gifts are found? The three chapters that we looked at yesterday. Who can tell me the three chapters? We got a mic ready. Okay, right back here. Melody, can you help me pass these out? Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Oh, we're going to the outer wings. Okay.
1 Corinthians. Go ahead.
Brother Scott.
Got Ephesians, Romans, and 1 Corinthians there.
All right, now I'm going to... Wait. I'm going to put you on the spot now, Scott. Ephesians, Romans, and Corinthians. Is he right? But let's get a little specific.
Ephesians 4, 8 through 13, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and Romans 12, 3 through 8.
Good job.
Now, wait a minute, was that from memory or was that with wife helping?
They take good notes.
All right. We'll give it to them. Congratulations.
Hallelujah.
Hey, that's good. That's good to take. I take notes as well. I love taking notes on my iPhone. Very good. Okay, next question. Who can name me at least... four of the different spiritual gifts that are listed in the Bible. At least four in rapid succession. Right here on the front. Let's get our microphone.
Apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers.
Amen, amen. All right. Let's give her a hand. Good job. And let me think of one other question. Who can tell me... what the role of a pastor should really be? Henry.
To teach and equip the church.
Tell us in the microphone there.
To teach and equip the church.
What do you think? Is he right?
He's right.
Amen. Good job, Henry. Thank you. So the role of the pastor is to equip the saints for ministry, not to actually just do all the ministry himself. That's very important. All right, thank you so much. How many do we have left, Melody? Do we have four left? All right, we're going to save four for tomorrow. Is that good? All right, so tomorrow will be the last four of our ASI DVDs. Well, I want to get to a lot of things, but first, before I forget, let's just sing our theme song together, Chosen Generation. And after we sing that, I'm going to tell you about the special gift that I have to share with you. Compliments of Pastor Derek Morris, okay? So let's sing our song, Chosen Generation, at this time.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. Into His marvelous light, His marvelous light.
Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us, choosing us to be that chosen generation. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful promise that we've been singing every day. And I pray that today, in this next hour together, that we would be filled with your Holy Spirit and that you would be present in this place. Help us, Lord, to be better equipped so that we can share your marvelous light with others. And Father, thank you for the great mercy that you have shown to each of us in allowing us to be a part of your work. Lord, we love you and we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. 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 Those scripture songs are such a blessing. I shared with some of you that I'm on Hope Sabbath School with Pastor Derek Morris, and we actually... Some of you asked how that works, and just to let you know, we record several in one day. That's why some of us have the same shirts several weeks in a row, okay? So I just let you in on a little secret. No, we don't wear the same clothes 3 different weeks in a row. It's the same day. So actually how it works is, just to give you a little Hope Sabbath School inside scoop, okay? We come, some people come from out of town, most of us are in Silver Spring, and we record on a Sunday and a Monday of one weekend. And then we'll record on a Sunday and a Monday of the next weekend. And between those 4 different days of recording, sometimes 5, we'll finish all 13 in a quarter. So it's intense. Like you're recording 4 back-to-back Sabbath school lessons sometimes. And Mrs. Morris Bodel, she is the one that's coordinating the whole thing. So she's just tremendous. But God has really blessed that ministry. Over 1.1 million viewers around the world just for Hope Sabbath School. And so pray for Hope Sabbath School and for the... We have people, actually, I just read a testimony that people are watching in Afghanistan. Amen. Isn't that amazing? People are watching, non-Christians watching Hope Sabbath School in Afghanistan. just tremendous. And we have American soldiers watching Hope Sabbath School in Iraq and in Afghanistan in the camp. In the army camp. And they're watching. Yes. How do you find Hope Sabbath School? Oh, it's just a very special inside track information. I'm just kidding. You know what happens is people email us. They email the Hope SS email. Man, I've heard it so many million zillion times from Bodil Morris, but now I forget. Something at hopess.org or whatever it is. And they email all these stories, and Bodil sends it out. She sends out what happened. So, yes. Channel 104 on Glory Star. And you can also download, if you have the, by the way, how many of you have a smartphone device? Okay, all right, a few of you. All right, good. Well, you can download the app, and actually you can also download the Sabbath School app that you can have all of your Sabbath School lessons on your Sabbath School app. Do you know that? You didn't know that? That's a great resource, friends. I would download that app. You can find your Sabbath School lesson study guides for all of the different levels. I know it's confusing. I know it's confusing. We've talked to the Sabbath School department about that. It's a little confusing. But the one that you need to download, let me tell you the one you need to download. I wasn't ready to talk about this, but it is Sabbath School. It looks like that. Well, okay. Anyway, it's the Sabbath School one. Melody, help me if I'm wrong. But it's the Sabbath School, and it has links to all of the different Sabbath School programming as well, including Hope Sabbath School. There's the lesson. You can see it there. So I would really encourage you guys to download that app. It's really helpful for your Sabbath School programs, okay? Now, before I forget, wanted to share with you the gift that Pastor Derek wanted me to share with you guys, because he really loved being here at Mountain View, and so he told me, when I asked him if I could sing these songs this week, he said, please tell my friends that they can have a special thing here. So let me do this. Presenter view, thank you, Henry, for showing me how to do this. All right, so here you go. TrilogyScriptureSongs.com, okay? If you go to TrilogyScriptureSongs.com, got it? And you can take a picture of this screen or just write it down. If you go to digital downloads, then you select Hope Sabbath School Special Edition, okay? And so select digital downloads, Hope Sabbath School Special Edition, and then when you check out, you use the coupon code HOPE, all right? And you can get the download for free. Amen? Amen. So you can get a collection of these scripture songs for free, and you can do that and use them in your church and use them in your Sabbath schools or wherever you'd like to use them. So TrilogyScriptureSongs.com. They also have other CDs that you can get or whatever you need, but that is the link that you need. So, oh, did I take it down? I'm sorry. I will leave it up for a second, okay? Did that work? Okay, good. What I want to do with you guys today are several things. I want to share with you a little bit about my heart's passion for evangelism. And I don't know about you. How many of you guys love evangelism? Amen? Do you get excited when you see someone going to the baptismal tank? How much better can it get when you see somebody commit their life to Jesus Christ and to see the change that God does in their life? I will never forget some of the experiences that God gave me when I was pastoring at the Mentone Church. One of the most powerful testimonies that took place when I was there, how many of you have heard of GLOW? Who's heard of GLOW? Do you know what GLOW is? Actually, you know what? As a matter of fact, I have some in the back. Just wait right there for a second. I'll be talking while I'm walking back here. But GLOW is literature that you can pass out to your friends And where is it? Here it is. Good. I actually have some to share with you guys. How about that? Yeah, we'll pass out. I don't have enough for everybody, but let's see. Maybe I can get a couple of volunteers. I can show you what GLOW is like. There are literally... Okay, we can just break up these packs and... many of you guys have seen GLOW tracks. If you haven't seen them, I encourage you to check it out and get them in your churches. Tremendous for sharing. Here, you guys can just help me pass those out. I'm going to tell you a story while I'm passing those out.
I still mail my bills in regular mail.
Yes? You slip a GLOW? Praise the Lord. Did you hear what she said? She mails her bills in. Actually, I have a friend that does that. They mail their bills, snail mail. They could pay it online, but they do it just so that they can put GLOW in the envelope. That's so cool. So the story I was going to share with you is, let me see if I can get a pack myself. I don't know if I have the particular one that this story is connected to. We had a special event in California that we did on Halloween. Adventists don't do a lot on Halloween, praise the Lord. But do you know that Halloween is the one night of the year when anybody will open their door to you? Do you ever think about that? Yeah. Yeah. That, it's not weird to go door to door on Halloween, is it? So you know what we decided to do? We said we're going to take advantage of Halloween. We're going to make an event called GLOW in the Dark. What do you think? GLOW in the Dark. And listen, we even made t-shirts that glowed in the dark with GLOW, like the GLOW, you know, the GLOW symbol and the GLOW in the Dark. And we did this a few years in a row with the young people there in Southern California. And so I had a group of them go out into the community on Halloween night, and they were going door to door passing out GLOW. We also had church members that had GLOW in their houses, and they would put the GLOW, well, some of you might not like this too much, but they would put the GLOW taped to candy. They would tape some candy on the GLOW, wrap it around a candy cane or something. It's vegan candy, right? And anyway, no, seriously, so they would give GLOW out to the kids as they're coming to the doors, and the kids would gladly receive the GLOW because it had candy on the back. So we had glow-in-the-dark glowers, we had glow-in-the-dark church members in their houses. It was really cool. Well, a few months after this glow-in-the-dark, I heard a story that was pretty incredible. And I didn't know how it would end up at the time, but little did I know that God was going to do even more incredible things through this story. All right, so glow-in-the-dark takes place, right? And the kids are going out all over the community near my church. They're getting their candy, and some of our church members are passing out the GLOW. One of the GLOW was called Twilight, Trick or Truth. Have any of you seen that one? You remember the Twilight series? Okay, so it was Twilight, Trick or Truth, perfect for Halloween. So this girl and her brother are going out door to door. I think actually it was the girl's brother who was getting the candy because he was younger. So he comes back with a boatload of candy, right? And, of course, what do you do after Halloween? You dump it all out on the table, and they're going through trying to look for the best candy. Well, he comes back, and he dumps out the candy on the kitchen table, and he's going through picking out the best candy and leaving the rest for his sister. And his sister, Alexis, starts looking through the candy, and guess what she sees? She sees a GLOW sitting there, and she's a fan of Twilight. She's a fan of Twilight, but interestingly enough, she's also been studying the Bible. And at this time, she is 15 years old, maybe 14, just about to turn 50. So she's a young girl, but she loves to read Twilight, and she's also interestingly studying the Bible. Now, she was in a tremendously dysfunctional home. Mom was in just a really bad situation, and she's living with her grandmother. It's rough, really rough situation that she was in. But she takes that GLOW and she starts to read it. And she just eats it up. And she goes to the back, and you notice how on the back, it was a little different then, but it had a number that she could call, and she called because she wanted to check out the Bible studies. It says free Bible studies, call this number. So she calls, and it goes to the conference office, and I had a Bible worker that was working for me at the time, and he got the message. Long story short, ends up going to her house, and Alexis comes to the door, and he says, my name is Andy. And someone called because you read a glow. And she says, yeah, that was me. I got it in my brother's Halloween candy. And so come on in. So Andy comes in, and she says, they talk, and she says, you know, I really want to learn more about God. And I've actually been studying these different Bible lessons. And Andy, my Bible work, he's getting excited because, you know, she's showing real interest in the Bible. And she's a young girl. And she pulls out these Bible lessons, like three or four different series of Bible lessons, and they're all from different churches. And so one of them was from the JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses. One of them was from some Pentecostal, I think. Another one was from the Mormons. So she's showing Andy the lessons, right? She says, well, what do you think about this one? And Andy was like, oh, well, this one, let's just set that over here for now. This one's, I don't know about this one. And then she show him the Jehovah's Witnesses. He's like, well, you know, I'm not sure about this one either. Let's just set this over here for now. And then the third one, oh, this one, I'm not sure. I've heard some questionable things about this one. And then guess what the fourth one was? Amazing Facts. She showed him, well, what do you think about this one? Oh, this one's great. You need to read this one. So sure enough, they started Bible studies. She was reading on her own, and she was really convicted of the truth and started attending the Mentone Church. She lived literally a couple blocks away, didn't even know that our church existed, because she said that she had walked by our church 100 times on her way to high school, and she never saw anybody there, and so she was like, I never even knew you. I just thought you guys were an empty building. I was like, oh, that makes me feel good. Anyway, she starts coming to church. She has a tremendous, I'm going to fast forward the testimony here of her, of Alexis. She has a really hard time because her family's so messed up. But God never gave up on Alexis. And she, over the next couple years, I was there at Mentone. We worked with her. She wasn't quite, you know, she struggled, frankly. But she enrolled in the Youth Rush program, which is a call porter program to sell MAGA books. You guys are familiar with that, the call portering programs to sell MAGA books. And she struggled there. It was a tough, tough struggle for her. But God has never given up on Alexis. And I just want to testify today and praise the Lord that not last August, but the August before, at our conference, which takes place at the end of the summer with all the call porters from the Pacific Union, Alexis, I had the privilege of baptizing Alexis. And that, amen. That was such a sweet moment, and there's a picture of it on Facebook. If I should have downloaded it for you, but I just, my heart was just so alive at that moment when I got to see her baptized. And guess what? The story gets better. So she continued to go through some very hard times, but now she is graduated from Souls West, the Pacific Union Call Porter Leadership Training School, and she is going to be a Bible worker. And so I am just so proud of what God is doing in her life. And, you know, isn't that the beauty of evangelism? You know, God takes people from where they are and can literally change a life completely through the power of His Word. And He gives us the privilege of helping lead people to Him. And it's a messy process, isn't it? It's not easy. It's not quick. It's not overnight. Alexis was and still is. We all are a work in progress, right? But God is merciful, and we get to take part in helping lead people to Jesus. I want to share with you this morning 12 reasons why we do evangelism. Okay, we're going to go quickly through this, because once we're through this, I want to actually share with you, one of the goals I had today was to share with you a very practical thing that you can use back in your churches for evangelism, and that is our New Beginnings DVD training program. And I'm actually going to demonstrate it to you and give you the opportunity, a couple of you the opportunity, to even preach today. What do you say?
Amen?
Amen? And I'm going to ask people that have never preached to preach. So we're going to have a good time with that. All right, so let's just go ahead here and we're going to look at 12 keys to successful evangelism. Okay, now number one, we know that evangelism is, and these are kind of basic, but it's a good review. Evangelism is a biblical command, amen? Evangelism is a biblical command. Of course, the text that we all know so well, the Great Commission, read it with me, please. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we could spend some time on this particular point, but I want to say something very particular here. Sometimes we think of evangelism as an event, as a series, or as a Bible study, and that's part of it, right? But the Great Commission tells us very clearly, evangelism is what? Can I get, actually, where's our roving mic? I'm going to get some interaction here as we go through this, Brother Bruce. Tell me, my friends, what does it mean to make disciples? Jesus says, make disciples. And that's very important to understand the role of evangelism. What does Jesus mean when he says, make disciples? Don't all jump in at once. All right, Bruce, go ahead.
Duplicate yourself.
Duplicate yourself. Okay, but... And that's true. So, is evangelism, is the Great Commission to go and just hold a series of meetings and be done? Okay, so we got...
It's like a cycle. It's a whole yearly thing, that, and you do certain things, and it leads up to the evangelistic meetings. And then you start over,
Amen.
Sowing the seeds.
Yes.
And
Amen. And part of that cycle is also the nurturing of the new believers, right? That's right. So, make disciples. Anybody else? Any other reflection? What does it mean to make a disciple? What does it mean
there.
To make a disciple?
Equipping,
okay.
A disciple is somebody who is learning from Jesus how to go out and spread the gospel.
Amen. Amen. So we see that Jesus wants us to make disciples, not just to do an evangelistic series or to, quote, do evangelism. We need to make disciples who are followers of Christ. And that means that it's a whole process, isn't it? We need to get away from the idea that evangelism is an event. We need to move to the idea that evangelism is a lifestyle. That our churches must live and breathe evangelism in everything that we do. If your church is doing something that's not evangelistic, I'm going to challenge you today. You need to stop doing it. Everything, whether it's youth ministry, pathfinders, whether it's community services, whatever it is, everything must have evangelism as the ultimate reason why you're doing it, because that's why we exist, right? We're not just a country club. We're here to share the good news
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, evangelism is a biblical command. Number two. Oh, let me read this from Desire of Ages. The Savior's commission to the disciples included all the believers, right? It includes all believers in Christ to the end of time. So, evangelism is not the work of the pastors only. It is the work of all of us. Reason number two. Evangelism is God's means of saving a lost world. Remember, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. I love the picture. Have any of you seen the Nathan Green picture of Jesus holding that lamb? Isn't that beautiful? And that's just is so touching to me to think that Jesus' whole, the reason why he came is to seek and to save the lost. He has a heart for lost people more than you and I do. He cares for them more than you and I ever could. And so we need to join with Christ in His passion for lost people. Amen? Remember the parables of Luke 15, and we won't go into those today, but the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin. And these are all telling us that Jesus is, His whole mission was to seek and to save them that are lost. Number three, evangelism is God's way to a vibrant spiritual life. What do you think? Amen? Now, let me, before I go to the, this verse, wow, I put the wrong, interesting, that's Isaiah. That's not Isaiah. That's Acts. Sorry. Interesting. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's been a long week. Okay. Can someone tell me, embarrassing, can someone tell me why it is more, can someone tell me a testimony, just briefly, of how God blessed you, and I'm talking 30 seconds, guys, how God blessed you in your giving. The more you receive. Amen. Amen. Yes.
There was a girl sitting in our laundry, all curled up, using our Wi-Fi for free. And after a week of seeing her there, I knew that's what she was doing. And I said to myself, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to talk to her. She's a needy person, blah, blah, blah. I'm too much to do. And after a week of seeing her, I spoke to her and found out that she was a really needy person. And she ended up being a really steady employee for our laundry.
Amen, amen. And you were blessed as you ministered to her, undoubtedly. You know, I'll just share with you guys. I'm going to share the rest of my testimony tomorrow morning, okay? But I will tell you that I did not want to be a pastor. Does anybody know why? The same reason you didn't want to talk to her. You guys are all good church members, right? You treat your pastors really well. I'm just joking. I love my church members. But, you know, being a pastor can be hard. And I told the Lord, well, I actually asked the Lord, Lord, please, I don't want to be a pastor because I don't want to be sent to a little church in the country with problems. Where do you think the Lord sent me? Well, He didn't send me to the country. He sent me to Southern California. But I did go to a little church with problems. But you know, I can say, and I'll share more tomorrow, but I really can say with all of my heart that in ministering to God's people, even in the hard moments when it felt like I just wanted to give up, it was more blessed. I was the one who was blessed. I was the one who was blessed. Even in the tough things of ministry. Like nights where I remember I couldn't sleep and just wanted to just call and scream at some church members, man, because of the way they were dealing with me. That's how I felt. But God was working on me, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity He gave me to be in ministry. And each one of us has that privilege. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, if you've ever had a chance to give a Bible study or to preach or even to share with someone what God has done for you, you know that's true, right? And that's part of God's plan. He wants to bless us as we bless others. So may you have that experience in your life, I pray. Reason number four, who is the center of your life? Look at this. This is very interesting. The center of sin is what? The center of pride is I. The center of Lucifer is I. I don't know. It's an interesting coincidence. But life, if we make life about ourselves, we're going to be very empty inside. If we live for others, life is very fulfilling. And God wants to fill you, my friend, as you live for others and live to bring them to Jesus. Okay, remember what the Pharisees, do they pray? Do they read the Bible? What is the difference compared to us? Notice what she says here in Desire of Ages, page 142. There is a relationship between witnessing and character development. God could have reached his object in saving sinners without our aid. But in order for us to develop a character like Christ, we must share in his work. Amen? In order to enter into his joy, the joy of seeing souls redeemed by his sacrifice, we must participate in his labors for their redemption. So as we participate in helping others know him, we actually receive joy. How many of you have received joy through working for God? Isn't that a blessing? God is so good to us. No sooner is one converted than there is born within him a desire to make known to others what a precious friend he has found in Jesus. The saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in his heart. Now, there's an important principle here, friends. In your churches, when you bring someone to Jesus and when you baptize them, that is exactly the time when you need to equip them for ministry. Did you catch that? Don't wait until they've been there for several years before you give them a job. At the baptistry, you need to be working with them to give them a role in the church, even if it's a very simple role. And I understand some people are their babies. They're not ready to take on big responsibility. But you can give them a job to do, and that will help them grow. Because as they reach out to others, their spiritual life will be strengthened. Yes, sister?
Don't overwhelm them.
Yes. Yes. Correct. That's true. Thank you for that point. That's a very good point. And I actually experienced that in my church as well. I had a young man that we baptized, and we gave him the role of glow coordinator. We had a glow coordinator role in my church because I really wanted to push glow. But he wasn't ready for that. And we pushed a little bit too much on him too quick. And he kind of struggled and went back to his old life. But we're still working with him. But that's a good point. So you need to be careful and prayerful about that. But nevertheless, I would really encourage you to help new believers have a role in the church. And don't just give them something and then walk away. Mentor them, right? Like you were saying, Dr. Schenck, about our youth. We can't just shove a task on somebody and then walk away. We have to walk with them through that task. Amen? That's really the way to disciple other people. Things are coming to my mind as I speak, and I don't want to forget this point. I strongly believe in spiritual mentor programs. When a new believer comes in, they need at least 2 to 3 friends in that church that are solid. And I would assign a newly baptized person to 2 people in the church who are going to watch out for that person and make sure they were coming back week after week. And if they didn't show, they were going to call them or visit them. We had a plan where every week they would do something, bring them a book, give them a call, pray with them. That way, because sometimes we baptize them and then we forget about them, right? We can't do that anymore. We have to help our new believers grow in Christ. So, assigning spiritual mentors to help new believers is a great way to do that, and also giving them a role with the understanding to not give them too much, but giving them a role is very important as well. Okay, reason number 4, and I'm going to go fast because my time is going fast. Evangelism opens the channel of the heart to receive the refreshing rivers of the Spirit. Amen? Remember this verse from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. If we want to see the Holy Spirit poured out, my friends, in this church, how many of you want the Spirit poured out in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? How many of you want to see the latter rain? I mean, I long for the latter rain. Lord Jesus, please send us the latter rain. Amen? But it's not just, and Melody talks about praying for the latter rain. That's very important. But we must not only just pray for the latter rain, we must work for the latter rain. If we're just praying for the latter rain, friends, it ain't going to happen. We have to, by God's grace, step out in faith step out of the boat, out of our comfort zone, reach our communities for Christ. Because that's when we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I wish I could stay here on this point longer, but I'm going to go quickly because I want to get through all 12, okay? This is just a little point that how do we breathe to live? We inhale to exhale, okay? And God has given us evangelism is a cycle, and we have to truly be willing to give in order to receive. God is calling us. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it is not by anything that we do, it's by what Jesus does through His Spirit that He gives us. As we breathe in His Spirit, we're able to impart it to others. Amen? So reason number 5, evangelism gives joy to God's heart. Evangelism gives joy to the heart of Jesus. The Bible says there is more rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents, right? And we've heard that all our lives, but when you see someone baptized, you have to realize that in heaven, angels are rejoicing. And not only are the angels rejoicing, it gives Jesus joy. Remember how we talked about God is long-suffering? He suffers long because of the terrible things in this world. Well, we can give joy to the heart of Jesus when a sinner comes to Him. Don't you want to help give joy to Jesus' heart? I mean, for all that He's done for you. I mean, that motivates me to think that when I help bring someone to Him, it's going to put a smile on Jesus' face. I mean, I just want to serve Him, don't you? Don't you want to make Jesus happy? I don't know, when I think about that, it just really stirs my heart. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who have no need of repentance. Number 6, evangelism puts you in the center of God's activity. Amen? So, when we are doing evangelism, it puts us right where God is working, and we can actually see God working more clearly. Sometimes, I know when we get in the humdrum of life, we think, well, I don't see God working. I don't see the miracles. I don't see God's hand in my life. Let me tell you something, friends. When you start actively working for God, reaching others for Him, you will see God working. It will become much more clear to you. Your spiritual vision will be cleared as you work for others. And you'll see the battle more clearly too, because you'll see the attacks of the enemy. Let me tell you, working with this Pathway to Health program, we have seen over and over again how the enemy has tried to attack and destroy this program. Do you know that time after time after time after time, he tried to shut LA down? And there are things I can't even share with you today that took place that tried to undermine what we were doing in Los Angeles. But Jesus prevailed. Jesus prevailed. And you know what? Just before, I have to be careful with what I share here. Okay, not long ago, there were real questions whether we were coming to West Virginia. I'm talking like less than a month ago because of certain situations that had come up. And I really thought that this whole thing was going to fall through. But God is in control. And He wanted this to happen. And He has prevailed. And we're still going to face challenges. We are still going to face challenges because it is spiritual warfare. But friends, evangelism puts you in the center of God's activity. And when you are in the center of God's activity, you will see the power of God. So my friends, as we trust in Him, He will come through for us. Amen? These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. We must pray and supplicate for God to move in our behalf as we do His work. He is going to pour out His Spirit, I believe, in Beckley. We need to be praying for God to do miracles there, that mighty things will take place. People will come to Him. People will be baptized because of what happens in West Virginia this summer. And in your churches, your communities, I believe, as we're nearing the close of time, And things are not just going to continue as they always have been. Right? Now is the time. There's too many people out there that don't know the truth, that don't know the three angels' messages. Our communities need to be turned upside down. And God is going to do it through willing hearts. And some of you even here in a powerful way, I believe. Evangelism is God's means of unifying His church. Amen? All right. These all continued. Let's look at this Acts 1:8 once again. Notice, one accord in prayer. They always, pastors used to tell the joke, did you know what car did the disciples drive? Honda Accord. Didn't you know that? It says it in Acts 1:8. One accord. They were all in one accord. Okay. But seriously, evangelism unifies the church. We talk about disunity in the church. Evangelism brings us together because we have a common purpose and a common mission. We are on the same team. We have the same mission, the same goal, and that is to bring as many people to heaven by God's grace as possible. That is why we're on this earth. Everything else is secondary, friends. You are Seventh-day Adventists called to such a time as this to take the three angels' messages to the world. Whatever your occupation, whatever your hobbies, whatever your family, everything else, that has to be your central focus. And that will unify us as a church moving to the end of time. Regardless of these various issues that seek to distract and divide us as a church, right? That's why I'm so thankful for the call of our General Conference President, Elder Wilson, that we must do evangelism. We must be focused on spreading the message. And I'm so thankful that he has, by example, every year been preaching an evangelistic series himself. Imagine how busy he is. And he just got back from Rwanda, where they baptized. How many people? Over 98,000 people. They originally had a goal of 60,000. I'm almost, you know, my time, I wanted to show you pictures from Rwanda. I didn't go as a preacher, but I went as a trainer in March. I'll try to show you a picture before I'm done, okay? But evangelism unifies God's church. If you want your local church to be unified, you guys have to just make everything about that church evangelism, and your church will grow together. At my Mentone church, we were struggling with some theological issues. I'm talking some serious, divisive theological issues, and I won't take time to go into it, but as we focused on evangelism, as we focused on reaching our community for Jesus, it's not that those issues went away completely, but they went way back in the background. Because people began to stop looking down at themselves and looking out. And when they start looking out, they start working together. And people that previously were giving trouble, when they start working for other people, guess what happens? They stop complaining about each other when they're working for other people. It's true. I've seen it happen. So this is what our churches needs. This is what our churches need. Amen? All right, let me go quickly. Sorry. I'll keep going. Number 8, evangelism is working together with God. So when we do evangelism, we are actually working. We are co-laborers with Jesus. This is a phrase that Ellen White uses in her writings over and over again. Co-laborers with God. Isn't that a beautiful thought that we are co-laborers with God? But Jesus answered them, "My Father works until now, and I work also." John 5:17. It is a blessing to be able to work with God to save lost souls. I'm just going to go over this. This is just a point. I'll go quickly over this, but we must use everything we have for God's glory. And as we've said several times this week, you may not think that you have a gift. Or you may think you have a gift, but you may think it's nothing that special. But you know what? God says to you today, what is in your hand? Just like He said to Moses, right? And we have to be willing to give God whatever it is that he's given us, no matter, it doesn't matter how big or small it is. Remember, when Jesus told the parable of the talents, it wasn't how many talents, it was what did we do with the talents we had, right? Right? So to be a faithful servant is not about how many talents you have. It's about what you do with what you have. And if your talent is hospitality and being kind to people and showing them love and cooking them food, that's your talent. Use it for God's glory. If your talent is being behind the scenes and helping out behind the scenes, use your talent for God's glory. If your talent is giving Bible studies or being up front, use your talent for God's glory. If your talent is being a mother who loves her children and leads them to Jesus, use your talent for God's glory. Everything we have is God's. So he says to us, what is in your hand? Use it for my glory, and it will help in the building up of my church. Reason number 9, evangelism is a method of closing the door of apostasy. And this is such an important point, my friends. Strength to resist evil is best gained by aggressive service. Acts of the Apostles, page 105. How many of you believe this is true? Strength to resist evil is best gained by aggressive service. Now, this can apply in many different ways. It can apply to us personally with our own personal struggles and temptations. And it can also apply to the church. As I mentioned, we were struggling at Mentone with some divergent beliefs. And while we didn't, you know, it's very hard to deal with some of these divergent beliefs sometimes. As we focused on reaching our community for Christ, the focus of the church changes, and people who were getting distracted by some of these beliefs are now getting drawn to what they really need to be focused on, which is mission, right? And so as we focus on the most important thing, which is the mission God has given us, it allows God to close the door to some of these apostasies and fanatical things that Satan tries to do. And so I would encourage you, no matter what's happening in your local church, as you focus on reaching others for Him, it will allow God to give you power, to give your church power to overcome the evil things that Satan is trying to do. I also believe with all of my heart, from my own experience, that working for Jesus helps us overcome the temptations in our life. And, you know, I have struggled with many things in my life, and I won't share specifics, but I can tell you that God has been so merciful to me to allow me to be in His work. Because I certainly don't deserve to stand before you here today. I mean, I'm not, you know, done drugs and all the different, had that kind of testimony, but I have had my own sins that have weighed me down. It's only by God's mercy, as I've worked for Him and learned through a long struggles to yield myself to Him, that He has helped heal me. And I know He can do that for you. And part of my healing, I'm serious, guys, part of my healing from some of the things I shared from my testimony and some things that I haven't shared with you that are very personal has been because I've been able to work for Jesus. And doing strength to resist evil is best gained by aggressive service. I know that when I'm working for God, that is when I'm able to be strong against temptation. So if you're struggling with something, start working for the Lord. He will give you strength and empower you to overcome whatever that is that you're struggling with and help you to help others that may have that same problem and win others for Him. Amen? So, all right, number 10. Evangelism makes members something to do, thus avoiding various church problems. Kind of a similar point that we just made, but very important. Let's just look at this statement. And not only in the world do we see the result of the church's neglect to work in Christ's lines. Okay? By this neglect, a condition of things has been brought into the church that has eclipsed the high and holy interests of the work of God. Sorry, this is the same quote continuing. A spirit of criticism and bitterness has come into the church, and the spiritual discernment of many has been dimmed. Because of this, the cause of Christ has suffered great loss. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 297. As we work for others, as we focus on evangelism, it diminishes that spirit of criticism that is all too easily comes into our churches. We do not need to be critical. We do not have any time to be critical of one another, friends. We must be focused on the mission that God has given us. Amen? Let's stop being critical of each other and let's focus each other on Jesus and on the mission we have to accomplish. So important. And when people come into our churches and they see a spirit of criticism, do you think they want to stay? No. They need to see a spirit of love, a spirit of Christ love, a spirit of mission in our hearts. That's what they need to see. Okay, moving along. Number 11, evangelism gives me a reason for living and fulfills the meaning of my existence. You have been put on this earth for a reason. Seventh-day Adventists, do you hear me today? People out there are searching for their reason for existence. You know why you are here. You have a purpose. There are people that you can reach that no one else can reach. Do you believe that today? There is somebody out there that can be in heaven because of you. Now I'm getting on fire because lives are at stake. This is not time to sit around. Someone can be in heaven because of your influence. My friends, this is not just everyday business. This is life and death. And so I'm asking you by the grace of God to go back to your churches and really pray about this. No matter what your spiritual walk has been in your life so far, you may have already been doing evangelism and whatnot. God wants to take you higher. He wants to use you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what God has done so far in your life. He wants to do bigger and bigger things with you. There are people that need you. Evangelism gives us a reason for living and fulfills the meaning for our existence. We have such a rich reason to live. Every day God has given us on this earth is another day we can reach someone for Christ. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Number 12, evangelism is God's means of finishing his work so the sleeping saints can go home. Sleeping saints can go home. He's going to wake us up. That's right. And all these, having received a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. My friends, they still wait in the graves. The Old Testament heroes of faith still wait in the graves. The New Testament heroes, many of them still wait in the graves. The Waldenses, John Huss, John Wesley, William Miller, Ellen White, and our early pioneers still wait in the graves. The promise has not been fulfilled, but Jesus is coming, and we can help hasten His return as we work to save lost souls. My friends, our loved ones, my grandpa, maybe your dad or your mom, peacefully wait in the graves for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't we long for that day with all of our hearts? That day is coming. And by doing the work that God has called us to do, He is enabling us to hasten that day. And not only to hasten it, but to ensure that more people will be on the right side of that resurrection. We rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Do you rejoice as Seventh-day Adventists that Jesus is coming soon? Let's share that joy with the world. Michael Green says this in his book, Evangelism Through the Local Church. I just like this statement. Those reasons should be enough, and more than enough, to motivate our sluggish hearts and our reluctant lips. God wants to motivate us to get out there and do His work. One final statement here from Review and Herald, July 23, 1895, and I see the clock. I've got a short video I just have to show you guys before lunch. I hope you'll oblige me. We are now living in the closing scenes of this world's history. Let men tremble with the sense of the responsibility of knowing the truth. The ends of the world are come. Proper consideration of these things will lead all to make an entire consecration of all that they have and are to their God. If our ministers realized how soon the inhabitants of the world are to be arraigned before the judgment seat of God, to answer for the deeds done in the body, how earnestly they would work together with God to present the truth. She's talking to us pastors right now, but she's talking to all of us. How earnestly they would strive to lead men to accept the truth, how untiringly they would labor to advance God's cause in the world. Are you and I laboring untiringly to advance God's cause? We are living in the closing scenes of this world's history. We must make an entire consecration. We must go deeper yet with God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time, not tomorrow. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Time is short, and our forces must be organized to do a larger work. My friends, whatever God has put in your sphere, your little church, your family, I pray that God would empower you by the miracle of His grace to share His love with others. That evangelism would be the heartbeat of your very life. That everything you do and everything you are would be motivated by a desire to help others be in the kingdom of heaven. West Virginia, Mountain View Conference, it's time. It's time. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine here. I know some of you are discouraged. I know some of the churches are small. I know that. You've talked to me. Don't give up. God wants to still work miracles in your churches. Remember the story of Russia. 8 members. Do you think God is limited by Russia? God can do it here in Mountain View. Don't limit the power of God. And I want to show you, I know it's time, but I didn't even get to my DVD thing, but I hope you will oblige me. I want to show you this video. They don't serve till 12:30? All right. You're not going to leave me? Let me show you this video, my friends. There are 2 videos I'm going to show you. I think, Melody, you've probably seen these. Elder Wilson preached a sermon at Annual Council in October, and he shared these videos at the end of his sermon, and I was so touched by these 2 videos that I wanted to share them with you here today. I'm going to show one and then the other, and I hope you can hear the sound. It's a little bit crackly, but I want you to be inspired by the testimony of these children. One girl, you're going to see the first one, Andressa, and then the second one, her name is Victoria. And I'll stop talking. I'm just going to let you watch the story, and may you be inspired as you watch this testimony of how God used this girl to reach others for Jesus.
On Sundays, I go to the radio station and I start with a devotional. And there's a segment for children where I tell Bible stories. On Mondays, in the morning, I go to school. And in the afternoon, we do a lot of missionary work. On Tuesdays, I visit the nursing home. There we sing, play, and pray. Some of the people there are lonely, and they sometimes open up to us. On Wednesdays, we meet at my house to make crafts that we can sell. And that's good because the people in this group don't have a lot of money. On Thursdays, in the afternoon, I preach to the children in my home. In the evening on Thursdays, we go to the homes of some of the church members and play serenades for them. On Fridays, I scheduled a small group of intercessory prayer is really interesting because a lot of the prayer requests we've made were answered because prayer is powerful. On Saturdays, I wake up earlier and invite some children to go to the church with me. This is what my week is like.
Her schedule can intimidate grown-ups. Despite her age, it would seem as if she's done more than people who are older. Her first contact with the church was through her grandmother and a small group.
I would like to create a small group of Bible studies, but before that, I need to get baptized. I need to give my life to Jesus so the children that I will teach will also follow my example.
It didn't take long for her to start her project.
On the following Saturday, I was baptized, and on the next Thursday, I started my group. And after that, the number of children started to increase. First was 10, then 20, 25, and today we have 45 children.
And the results were tremendous.
So many children left the small group in order to create their own small group.
Andresa showed me I could create my own small group. And I believed and created the small group. The small group is like a family to me. Everybody should create a small group. It's an extension of the church. It's an extension from God.
17 children and 3 parents were baptized.
Amen.
New members, new life, Amen. And new examples. What a difference a small group can make.
Jesus is coming. He is showing us the signs, the prophecies. They are being fulfilled. If we do not do our part now, maybe tomorrow time will run out.
Now stay here because I've got one more video. My friends, what do you say to that? 13 years old. 13 years old. And she's doing something every day for Jesus. Now if a 13-year-old with no training and no experience can do that, do you think you can do something for God? Did you see the small group she started? Did you see the number of baptisms that took place? Now that's unfortunately not the end of the story. Because sadly, not too long after this video was done, Andresa was killed in a car accident. But not before her life had inspired others by her example. And that's what this next video will show.
Andresa's life, although short-lived, has inspired many of the people that she came in contact with. Among these is Vittoria, who heard Andresa's testimony and decided to devote all she had to God's message. The attentive eyes and the shy smile all hide her pain.
Bullosa refers to the blisters in the skin, and dystrophic refers to the loss of function of body parts. Part of one's body starts to atrophy until it loses its function. I know some children that have already lost their hand. Their hand is closed up, and the fingers are the only part they are able to move. My pain bothers me. My body hurts a lot when I bump into something. When I run or even take a shower, it hurts.
The daily routine is very difficult. For me, the hardest part is when she gets up from her bed and tells me, "Mom, I couldn't sleep at all last night because my blisters were hurting so much." And I ask her, "Why didn't you wake me up?" And she explains, "I didn't call you because I can sleep or rest any time I feel tired during the day. But you, Mom, you have a lot of things to do. You have to take care of the house and my siblings. You have other people to take care of. That's why I don't wake you up. I want you to rest to take care of us.
All the suffering makes her more mature.
The doctors say there's no cure, but I know that God can cure me.
Vittoria survived even after all the diagnoses that estimated that she was going to die 2 months after her birth. Today, she is 14 years old and followed the example of Andressa, who died at the same age she is now.
I was worried about her. I was afraid they could accidentally hurt her and it could cause a problem to her. So I explained it to her and she told me, "Mom, I am going to take care of myself. I know because due to my illness, I can't play outside at the soccer field or to ride a bike with them or anything else they do, but it's a great opportunity for me to interact with them at our house."
We have to speak, and it's easy. I know now that it's easy to spread the God's love. It doesn't hurt at all.
Vittoria wasn't able to go out and invite the kids, so she gave this task to her siblings.
First, we welcome them. We have the devotional songs. Then we sing, we play more dynamic games with them. We tell Bible stories, and then we study the lesson. And we end the day with the prayer. In the beginning, I also thought everything was difficult. Before, I would always say, "Playing and walking is too difficult because I can hurt myself. How am I able to walk then? I can lose function on my legs if I don't exercise. I have to walk to do something." And I thought it was really hard. But when we try and we ask for God's help, it's easy. With God's help, it's easy.
Inspired by the small group with almost 30 children, the adults have created a prayer group. Now they have a small group too. The responsibility is so much that Vittoria invited two friends to help her, especially when she needs to be hospitalized to get the blood transfusions, which are frequent.
Even though we have to go through hardships, we have to keep moving. We just can't complain all the time.
She doesn't seem to have a hardship.
We forget she has it, because even though she has the illness, she's just like us.
There's so much difference now. Before the group, she was feeling depressed. One day, she even asked me, "Mom, do you think it's a sin to ask God to make me sleep forever?" So then she was giving up her life in this world. But after she started, the small group with the children, she has strength. Now she asks God to live to see another day.
God doesn't give us anything we can't stand. Everyone who has a hardship has it because God knows the person can stand it. I have this illness, and I know I can deal with it with God's help. Even with my limitations, I try my best, and I'm better because God is helping me. He can help everyone. So I'd like to ask you to work, to talk to your friends.
What a testimony. The power of God to change a life. My prayer for you is that God will use you by your life and by your example to inspire others to reach many souls for Christ. No matter how small your talent may be, God can use you. God can use you, just as He used Alessandra and Victoria. Andressa and Victoria. As we close, I'd like us to stand. And do you have the song, Brother Rick? Can we sing that as our closing today? Praying the Lord for laborers in His harvest field.
The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few, the laborers are few. The The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, into his harvest. Harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field. For they are already white for the harvest. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers.
Father in heaven, Lord, today we want to thank you for calling us into your harvest. Lord, my heart was touched again today by the power of your word and just by listening to those testimonies again of Andresa and Victoria. Lord, what a beautiful example of two young hearts that were committed to you. And how Andresa, even though she lost her life at a young age, has now made an impact that will have ripples into eternity. And Father, my prayer is that each one of us, as we are preparing to soon leave Mountain View Camp Meeting for another year, that it would not be business as usual when we go home. That you would change us and change our churches. Give us a greater burden for the lost in our communities. Help evangelism to be the very center of our lives. Lord, help us, we pray. Give us a love for lost people. We don't have it naturally, but you can supernaturally impart that unto our hearts. And so I pray that today. Help us, Father, to have the same love that you do, so that none of those in our sphere of influence will be lost. Dear Jesus, please answer this prayer. We believe you will answer it, and that you have already worked to begin to bring people into our lives that we can reach. Lord, thank you for the promise that one day soon you are coming in the clouds of heaven, and that we will be with you forever. We love you. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our soon coming King. Amen.